GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
And now, Austin Gleeson today launched Littlewoods Ireland's Style of Play, hashtag Style of Play campaign for the 2018 All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. What's described here as Style Ambassador, Austin, has been helping to announce the details of the Style My Wall competition, which has a grand prize valued at €10,000. And for more information there, you can follow Littlewoods Ireland on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram and Snapchat. They describe you, Littlewoods, in their press release as one of Gaelic Games' most stylish hurlers, both on and off the pitch, Austin Gleeson. Fashion icon.
It's the first time I heard that one, to be honest.
You're very welcome to studio. So I know you've had a busy day and doing interviews, and it's that time of year where the season is kicking off. So what is your injury situation? Because across the winter, I've heard everything from pulled his quad, and then a cut in the ankle which got infected, which sounds fun, and then pulled your hamstring coming back. So not the most straightforward of winters for you.
No, I want to be fair. I suppose they all kind of happened within the space of 6-7 weeks. Done the quad against Tipperary in the league, then against Clare in the league, got the cut in the ankle, and then first round club, after 10 minutes, pulled the hamstring. So it wasn't the best couple of weeks, I suppose. It was hard to kind of get training in as well, especially when you're on the sidelines, not been able to do much. But thankfully, touch wood, all good now for the foreseeable future.
And so how's the fitness situation now?
It's getting there. It's getting there again now. Don't have too much long left to get there, but not have too. So the Clare game is coming up, and whatever happens on the day, I just hope to be fit enough to go and last, I suppose, the 70 minutes.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's the 27th of May against Clare. And Waterford are interesting in this whole round-robin format in that you have your rest week in the first week, mm-hmm. which is not of huge use to you, I would think. Maybe to you, that extra week to get back. But for a lot of players, the rest week in the first week isn't brilliant. So 4 weeks on the bounce. Clare, May 27th. Then Waterford, it's your home game, but you're at the Gaelic mm-hmm. grounds. And you're against Tipperary. Then Limerick away. And then Waterford, Cork. Again, it's your home game, but you're at Semple Stadium. So 4 weeks on the bounce, that's going to be serious.
Yeah, it is. Look, most of the championship game, it takes a week to get over it, no matter when it is.
Even at your age? Because I'd be looking at you thinking, well, you might be okay.
I wouldn't say that. It's just the hits you take, the little niggles you get during the game that you wouldn't even know because the adrenaline is going. Mm. All them little things add up. If you went to work the following day, you're tired getting up on a Monday, so it takes an extra day or two to get recovered in as well. So you have all these little things adding up, and to do it 4 weeks in a row, it's going to be tough. Mm. It's going to be a panel that you need. I think we use 29 players in the league. I'd say we won't be far off using the same again in the championship. Look, it's thankfully we actually have that panel built up over the last few years of the lads in around my age that are getting their physically and are shown that they can match the best to the best, especially in the league. A couple of lads really kind of stood out for us, and thankfully they didn't step in for any of the players that are feeling tired and weak and sore and stuff like that. But look, the work's after been done now, the fitness should be there, and we're just looking forward to the 4 weeks.
How does losing an All-Ireland final compare to losing an All-Ireland semi-final?
Losing an All-Ireland semi-final is easier, I suppose, because you don't have to watch, I suppose, the opposition lift the cup. You don't have to watch the opposition celebrating like mad.
Where were you when that was happening? The photo I've seen or everyone remembers is Dan Shannon and Derek. And Derek was on the show a couple of months ago or a couple of weeks ago, and he can still remember well that moment. And actually, what was in his mind, he said when he was kind of head on Dan's shoulder, was, God, who knows when we get back here again? Like, even though we have a young team and everything, it's so hard to get back. This is a big chance. That's what he was thinking when the trophy presentation was happening. Do you remember where you were?
I do. I was right in the middle of the field, kind of sitting on the ground looking up at David Burke lifting the cup. And I just, in my head, I was just thinking, what if, kind of thing. But then at the end of it all, I was just thinking, we need to get back there. We need to work harder. We need to get fitter. We need to be stronger. We need to improve and just get back there more so than anything, and that's what we're aiming to do this year, and we've put in the work to try and get back there, and hopefully we can.
And whatever about you and your injuries, would Waterford have trained harder, say, this kind of spring, winter, as opposed to previous years?
No, to be honest, I don't think we have. We have that base from the last few years built up that we didn't really need. Like, we just changed the training around. We trained hard, but we didn't train as physically hard, I suppose, as in the long sprinting runs and this to build up the endurance, because we had that base there. It was just about pushing out a bit more, basically, instead of doing all that hard slog. We've done the hard slog, obviously, to get that endurance back up again, but it was just different training. It was tweaked about what way we want to go in a game plan forward in certain games and stuff like that, where certain individuals might need 20, 30 metre sprints, like a cornerback, and then some midfield might need 80 metre sprints to get up and down. So just individualised programmes were kind of set in place at the start of the year as well to try and develop that as well. So look, it's a developing process that is a going place.
It's very interesting, actually, that it's at that stage where it's not this one size fits all train and everyone do 20 laps. Mm-hmm. So the cornerback might have to make that 60-yard sprint, midfielder mightn't. So different training to do that. That's kind of cutting edge stuff. That's great.
But that only might be like once or twice a month that you might individualize it. Yeah. But it's mostly all together kind of training. Yeah. Hitting tackle bags, just blowing the lungs and stuff like that. So that's the majority of things that we've been doing, more so to just get used to that and get physically ready again. Like, so it was an interesting kind of spring, winter kind of training.
And going back to watching Galway lift the trophy and thinking we need to get back here, we need to work harder and all that, like, do you kind of get over it quickly enough at your age, or are you still thinking about it most days for a long time? What's that? I don't want to call it a grieving process because that's overstating things.
Yeah.
But what's that process like?
Oh yeah, to be honest, even since it happened, I've tried not to think about it at all. Like, I usually watch games back, and that's one game I didn't really, really look back at.
Right.
I looked at small little bits of it and different things, but I didn't sit down and watch the whole 70, 75 minutes of the game. Like, so.
Why not, do you think?
I don't know. I just think it'd be too hard. Knowing that we were so close, one of those games then, that a few little bits and pieces, if they went the other way, we could have overturned the score. Personally, it was probably my worst game in a Waterford jersey as well. So there's a lot of kind of cons to the game when if I was looking back on it, I suppose.
You maybe don't want to relive that. Roge McInerney was pretty close to you for a lot of it. It was a man marking job. You must realise early enough in the game he's on me here and he's not going anywhere. First few minutes, I would think.
Yeah, and there's, to be honest, when you have a fella 6'2", 6'3", and he's 16 stone, you know,
and he's only got eyes for you.
And he's only got eyes for you, and he can move, and he's, you know straight away that you're in the game. Like, I remember at one stage we got a sideline, I think it was on the Cogan stand side, and I was on the Cusack stand, and I jogged over to the sideline, probably 80 yards I jogged over to the sideline, and he followed me every step. I put the ball down on the ground to hit the sideline, and he was standing beside the ball. And it was only when I tried to take my steps back to try and hit the sideline is when he went back. And the second I hit the sideline, he ran straight out to me again. Like, and I just knew from then, I'm just not getting away from this fella today. Like, so.
And what can you do there? I mean, can you? Because you have to fit into a plan, and obviously Waterford always have a plan. So you have to fit into a plan, but it must cross your mind: should I take this fella on a few laps and try and run the legs off him, or do I just go and stand over on the sideline and take him out of the game, me out of the game? All these things must be running across your head, or across your mind.
It is, and to be honest, if I was looking back on it, I would try different things. To be honest, I'd just try to stick to the plan and try and stick to my own game in that final. But in hindsight, when looking back, I probably should have just went out to the sideline for 20 minutes and just kept him out there. Then he could have been eager to try and get on a ball or two, and then he could have came into the game a bit more. And then it would have been able to me for to overlap into it then.
But you almost test to what extent he might be willing to sacrifice his own game.
Exactly, yeah. And looking back on it, I didn't do that. But I played into his hands, basically.
Yeah, maybe, but it must be very difficult in live time, and suddenly you're looking at a clock and 7 minutes have gone by, and she's then 15 minutes have gone by, and I'm not in this game at all. What do I do? And then you probably weren't getting messages from the sideline about how to handle it, because they're juggling a whole host of things, and suddenly it's half time, and then, do you feel it almost passed you by a touch then?
It did. I thought the game went as fast as any other game I've ever played in, definitely. All I remember is Fogler throwing the ball in and final whistle going, basically. I can't really remember much of the game at all.
Did you get on the ball much?
Not at all. I'd say if I held the ball five times in the game, it was a lot, to be honest, I think.
A tough drive home.
It was a tough couple of hours, couple of days, I suppose. It was publicised a lot as well, so it didn't help a bit as well. And I suppose your family hearing them things as well, it don't help. You don't mind if you're in it yourself, but when there's people coming up to your family in town and saying, what was up with them and this blah blah and the other thing, that's when it kind of really starts to kind of hit home.
Okay. Yeah, people are funny. They want to support you and they're great when things are going well, but then probably don't think before they go up. Is it your mum and dad, is it, or your parents?
Parents and grandparents.
Grandparents, okay. They're not thinking when they come up to Grandad Gleeson saying what was wrong with him.
As if he knew, that I went out to try play bad and stuff like that. So it was hard that way, but look, that's life and that's sport, experience. I suppose.
And were you feeling different pre-game? Like, were you more nervous? Had the hype got to you? Did you feel physically okay? Was there any sense pre-game, this may not be my day?
Absolutely not. Done everything the same. Prepared exact same as I've done every other game. To be honest, I didn't get nervous at all. I was looking forward to the game, really looking forward to the game. Everything kind of just went against me then when the second the ball went thrown in. It was just one of those days that I didn't play.
You must be man marked at club level to a fair degree, or it must have happened. Now, I appreciate not everyone's Gerard McInerney, but it must happen.
Yeah, it does. Look, it does sometimes with the club. I suppose I'm after kind of playing in numerous positions the last number of years, and from in the forwards, certain teams kind of man mark me, and then even when I was a couple of teams when I was playing centre back, they were just putting a fill on me to stop me kind of going to run with the ball basically. But look, it's just something I'm after getting used to now, and I'm after learning to it. A couple of years ago, I wouldn't have had the mentality to stand up and try and get out of it. I probably would have hit him or something stupid.
So frustrating to be man-marked. I can only imagine. Go away from me.
that's you're saying in your head. But if you let him sniff that you're off your game, he'll go to town on you then. Like, you need to kind of have the mental strength to stand up and basically say, you're not getting the better of me today. Oh, I want this more than you today, kind of thing. That's what I just have to learn.
And did you talk to Derek over the spring about, well, how do we handle this when this happens again? Because it probably will. Or have you had that conversation yet?
We did, actually. We had it, I think it was just after we came home from the holiday. We were just talking in general. And it kind of came up about the final last year. And he was just talking about different scenarios. If we tried this, if we tried that. Yeah. So it was just something that he wanted to take responsibility for. And I want to take responsibility. It was just something that happened, basically. Like, it wasn't, I should have done this, I should have done that kind of thing. It was more so, you could have done something on the field, I could have done something on the sideline, different things like that. So I wasn't, it was your fault, it was my fault, but it was just, we were trying to nitpick it ourselves and trying to work out a solution. And look, it's something that we just have to learn.
That's great. I mean, but like that kind of communication, that's one of the reasons he's a great manager, you know, that's class, that you can say, well, you didn't help me out either. And he's like, okay, but what are we going to do next time? Mm-hmm. The one other thing I wanted to ask you about, which was really striking when I saw these quotes back in April, where you were just looking back on the year as a whole, whatever about the final. So 2016, you're just like, you know, it must be dreamland stuff. You're young hurler of the year. And your hurler of the year, it's the second time it's happened in the history of the game. So you're kind of a superstar kid, even though you'd never used that phrase. And then 2017, so you say, I looked back over the winter over a lot of games and you could see I was walking around with my head in my boots as if I'd no confidence. And then you kind of talked as well about almost having to justify the fact that I'm young hurler of the year and hurler of the year. I need to go out here every time and let people know just how good I am. So, that's a lot of weight on the shoulders, and that affected you, it seems, across the year.
Yeah, 100% it did. I suppose it wasn't from anyone else, it was from myself. Looking back on it, I shouldn't have been doing that. The whole year just bypassed them because I was doing that, and it was a stupidity mindset out of my own thoughts, and I don't know why I done it.
It's understandable.
I suppose it was just, there was so much around the awards, he shouldn't have got it, he should have got it, different things like that.
So you obviously read stuff, so people were saying you shouldn't have got it, were they? I didn't notice that, I didn't see any of that.
There was a kind of, but it wasn't me kind of reading it, it was more so, again, the people on the street saying, oh, do you hear what this fella said, do you hear what that fella said, and I'm kind of standing there, I don't really want to know, but go on, what, like.
So did you hear what Pundit X said?
Yeah.
And they tell you on the street?
Basically, like,
okay.
Yeah. And
that kind of sows a seed in your head. You're thinking, oh, there's people out there saying.
Yeah, basically. And then I wanted to prove a point then, basically, the following year that I wanted to prove a point that I believed that I was good that year.
Yeah.
That maybe they deserved the awards that year or whatever. Like, but it just didn't happen no matter what I tried. just didn't come off for me.
Were you not enjoying it? Would you go that far?
I wouldn't say I wasn't enjoying it. It was more so I was, what's the word? I was enjoying playing, I was enjoying going training, but the second one thing went wrong, I was zoned out of a game for 5 minutes. And I couldn't get back into the game because I was thinking, if I missed a catch, why did I miss that catch? I probably would have made it last year. So I was thinking back on previous instead of just looking forward and forgetting about it.
Does the pundit flash across your mind saying, oh, he's going to clock
that? They're going to pick that out. They're going to pick this out. Yeah, it does look fair, but...
That's strange, you know, because I read this quote where you said, everything I did wrong, I was kicking myself. Everything I did right, I was thinking I could do better. I just want to go back, enjoy it, and play hurling as I did in previous years. And I'm a bit of a golf nut in some respects. So that is like golfers who win their first major all seem to have, a lot of them have this slump. And Padraig Carrington tells a story about Paul Laurie, who won his first major years ago, 99. And he was playing with him the following year, and Laurie hit a bad shot on, you know, a nothing tournament on like a Thursday. Mm-hmm. I got so down on himself, and he said, that's not the shot of a major winner. And Harrington looked at him and said, geez, you can't carry that around. You're still going to make mistakes. You have to let yourself flow a little bit. It sounds like you never quite flowed. Even when you're doing something well and you're thinking, I could have done that a bit better. Like, yeah. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it is. 100% is. There's no point in hiding it. That's a mentality that no one should have.
Did you talk to anyone? Like, would Derek have known what was going on or during the season? Or is it almost on reflection when you look back, you realise it? Or?
I didn't really talk to anyone, to be honest. I had a few kind of conversations with Derek about it, but nothing kind of major about it. But since the season is kind of over, I had a kind of couple of chats with a few people and different things. Like, and it's just, they were kind of not laughing at me as in, why are we thinking like that? Laughing at me as if, like, why are you putting that much pressure on yourself? Mm. You're 21 for most of the year last year, only turned 22, and you're thinking the world is against you, this kind of thing.
And actually, I don't know who the pundits are. I presume, let's not mention them, whoever they are, because then they oxygen and everything. But actually, it's funny, different experiences. From the outside, from over here, all anyone was saying was, this guy's amazing. Can't wait to watch this guy play hurling for the next 10, 15 years. Isn't he brilliant?
Yeah.
So yeah. Perception is everything.
That's the thing you wouldn't see, I suppose. It's weird. Like, 500 people could tell you one good thing, and if one person says something bad, you'll always remember the bad thing. It's just the mentality that you have.
Negative bias, yeah, we all do.
100%. Like, it's no matter who you are, you always look at that one thing that's negative about it and try and twist it and try and change it. So it's just something that we have to, that not just myself, it's thousands of people like to.
It's true.
The same. So
are you going to be able to go out, do you think, and enjoy it and play like a 16-year-old and ignore all the noise? That's the hope. Are you confident that's how you'll be? How you feel?
Yeah, I actually do, yeah.
Right.
I sure do, 100% I do. Like, it's, I'm enjoying again. I'm eager to go again. Like, so I'm more like, I'm hungry for want of a word that maybe I didn't have last year, even though I was telling myself I did have it. But I know by the frame of mind that kind of in there that I'm hungry for it again now, yeah.
Because at times, you know, the Cork goal, well, you should have passed.
Yeah, I should have passed.
that's a glimpse of this lad in flow and God, look what he can do. So, because I wondered as well, maybe were you tired? Could you have been tired without realising you were tired? Like, it's a lot of hurling for someone your age.
No.
I
don't think it was. I do think I was making myself tired by mentally going at myself. Even on the field, I could make one run and do something okay, and then I'd be back out the field and I'd be grand. But then if I went my head one run and I done something bad, I'd feel my lungs going, even though it was the exact same, just transparent, but it was the outcome of it.
It's like
that was totally different.
Some kind of psychosomatic.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of thing, but it's just... Well, I'm learning from it now.
Good. For the good of hurling, you better catch yourself during games. If you make a mistake, no one's beating up on you. And then just a final point. It's too simplistic a question to ask what's your favourite position, because I understand, you know, positions are not what they used to be by any means. And Waterford are at the forefront of change in that whole thing. And I'm all behind it, to be honest. I love to see the innovation. It feels like you have a relatively free role, or do you? Or does it change from game to game? I know you don't want to give us the specifics.
No, it is, look. The way we play, like, is you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1 to 15 basically has their own certain roles.
Yeah.
But in those roles, once you're performing those roles, you can do what you want.
Okay.
You can, you if you want to do that and stand on the sideline for 10 minutes, if you're doing your role, no problem. That's the way Derek is. Like, it's, you have your role in the system. If you're performing that role, you can play off the cuff. You can do whatever you want, basically. It's like, no matter what it is you want to try, you will not be questioned about it. Like, if you want to have a shot from 80 yards and it just drops short, but if you are free and you do it again, he'll always encourage you, right, try it again. Like, and it's all these things in training that you are trying. And if they don't come off in the training field, he's saying, go again. Self, O'Murphy and Dan are brilliant at that, are encouraging you to, if you fail at something once, go again, always try it. Because the more you have in your locker, the harder it is for someone to mark you, kind of.
So yes, predict what you're going to do. I guess the downside is, if your fans can get frustrated if you're in a 10-minute cycle where you're hitting pot shot after pot shot from yards out, and then it can look like a bad pattern. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's individual choices.
Yeah, that was my individual choices a couple of years ago. <I
didn't> Look, you liked a shot from distance. That's okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to learn from that.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. No, it's just the belief that we you have to kind of, that the lads install in us, that we have in them as well. So it kind of, it transfers to a bond that, in, we have a circle that we just don't want to, that we don't, that, like, literally we don't think anyone can break, and that's the way we have to be, and that's why we got as far as we did last year. We have that circle that there's 32, 33 players on the team that not one of them players will talk bad about another one of the players. Like, it's literally just a bond there that no one is going to break. Like, that's what we need to get and have full throttle ahead now for a year.
Good. Well, listen, I think, like most people, you're one of my favourite hurlers, if not my favourite hurler. So for the love of God, don't go out this year and be beaten up on yourself. Wish you all the best for the season. I think everyone really wants to see Waterford do well as well. Hopefully not Derek McGrath's last year, but it has that feel. So, Ozzy Gleeson, thanks a million.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
GAA on Off The Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.